one of the biggest problems that people have is when the dog is wearing the e-collar, he knows exactly what time it is. When the e-collar comes off, they know, okay, e-collar's off, I can kick my shoes off, I can do whatever I want. I don't have to be as responsive. I don't have to pay as much attention because I'm not gonna be held accountable like I am when I'm wearing the e-collar. This episode is gonna be going over that, why that happens, how you can avoid it, how we can mitigate that phenomena that happens that is very common with dogs and dog owners struggle with quite a bit. Sir, I have a question. My dog had learned what the collar is and fights me to put it on. There's a couple of aspects to this question here. Okay, my dog has learned what the e-collar is and fights me to put it on. She's a German Shepherd, throws herself to the ground and uses her paws to push away. Okay, so why does the dog know, right? Why does the dog know what the e-collar is? And why does it take it off? Well, there's a couple of reasons why that might happen. One reason might be your dog just doesn't like it when you put things on its neck. There are dogs that if you try to put a muzzle on them, they'll fight you because they don't, you know, they're not used to wearing muzzles. There are dogs that if you try to put a gentle leader on them, they'll fight you. If you try to put a harness on them, they'll fight you. If you try to put a collar on a dog and they're not used to wearing collars, period, they will fight you. They're not used to that. If you try to trim their nails, they'll fight you because they're not used to that. So it might not be that your dog knows what this is. It might be that your dog just is not comfortable wearing a collar simply because it's just not used to wearing collars. That might be the issue. So how do we address that? I'm going to cover that here in a moment. But the more common phenomena is the dog understands what this is, right? And they might not fight you when you put this on them, but when it's on, they're a certain way. You have like a different dog. And when it comes off, you have an entirely different dog. So why does that happen? This is what I tell my clients, okay? What I tell my clients is this. Whichever way you decide to use the e-collar, this video is not to tell you how to use it. If you want to see how I use it, how I introduce it, I have plenty of videos on that. I have a whole playlist on YouTube dedicated to that, where I go over how to introduce it, how to progress from introduction to off-leash to reliable recall. I have a whole series on YouTube that it takes one dog through the several steps of e-collar from introduction all the way to using it reliably off-leash. So check that out if that's something you're interested in. But the video here is about how do we make it so that the dog goes from, I know what this is, or maybe I don't know what this is, but it doesn't make a difference whether I'm wearing it or not. Well, why does it happen? It happens for a couple of reasons. One reason is owners are way more consistent when they have the remote in their hands because it's easier for them to follow through when they have the remote in their hands. It's a lot easier to push the button. It takes less effort to do that than it does to grab your dog and physically address your dog, prevent your dog. It takes a lot more effort to put a leash on your dog. It takes a lot more effort to do that than it does to push the button. And I'm not here to condemn the use of the e-collar because of that. I'm not here to say which is better. This is not the video for that. I have videos on that topic, but what this video is about is why does that happen, okay? And one of the reasons is because the owner is more likely to follow through when the e-collar is on the dog, when they have the remote in hand. The dog picks up on that, the dog understands. E-collar's on, I know you're gonna be more consistent. You're gonna hold me accountable. The other reason is obviously because dogs pick up on that. They're smart. They can figure out what you're doing because they are really good at pattern recognition. They can read you way before you understand what you're even doing. They'll understand what you're doing way before you do. They know when you go fight or no, fight or no, fight or no, and then you lose your patience and there is no way for you to follow through and you choose not to follow through. They understand. They go, huh, something's different. You're not following through. versus when the e-collar is on, they have the remote, you have the remote, and you say something very confidently, you say it, it doesn't get done, boom, there's a correction, right? Instantly. So the dog understands there is something here that is different. So what are they gonna pair it up to? They're gonna pair it up to the use of the electronic collar. Additionally, here's what people do. This is something that I tell my clients not to do. And by the way, I'm telling you this because this is my perspective on the matter. There are people that have different perspectives on this, and that's perfectly fine. There is no way that is better than the other unless you deem it better than the other. Okay, what matters is your perception and how you apply it. I could say, this is the best way to do it. The other person can tell you, no, 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 that's not the right way to do it. This is the best way to do it. You are the one who needs to decide that based on what works for you. What I do, what works for me, what works for my clients, is I'll tell them, look, when you use the e-collar, if this is what we're doing, when you take the dog home, put the e-collar on and just put it on as an accessory. Meaning, like put it on in the morning and just have him wear it throughout the day. But 12 hours is safe. Any more than that, it could start causing pressure sores. But 12 hours, it's very safe. Right, you put it on for 12 hours, even if you're not going to use it that day, even if you have no intention of using it, even if you don't turn it on, if you have no plans on using it whatsoever, just put it on anyway. It's just an accessory. And what's an accessory? This is an accessory. My watch is an accessory. I don't put my watch on when I need to know what time it is and then take it off when I'm done. That would be silly. My watch is on so that if I need to know what time it is, it's there, right? It's an accessory. I wear it throughout the day. I don't even think about it. And if you wear a watch as an accessory, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, some people wear their watch as a uniform, meaning they normally don't wear watches. But what they do is when they're dressed up, when they're going to an important meeting, and they want to impress somebody, they'll wear a very expensive watch. Well, when you wear that very expensive watch on those occasions, you know it's sort of a uniform. Like, this is not an accessory anymore, so to speak. Obviously, it is an accessory, but follow up with me here. Just stay with me, bear with me, and see what I'm trying to tell you here. So you put that watch on as part of your uniform to go to that meeting, and then you take it off when you're done. This is now a uniform. You know when this thing is on, it's time to do something important. It's time to behave a certain way. But if you wear your watch constantly, kind of like I do, and a lot of people do that, right? When you wear it constantly, you don't think about, I don't even remember when I put it on. You just don't even remember. You don't even realize when it's on. And you don't even realize when it's off. And so what happens is, some people will even sleep with this, right? Go to the shower with it. Now with the dog, again, just 12 hours. But the message here is when it's just an accessory, it's just on you throughout the day, you don't think about it. And then here's what will happen when you don't wear it. When you don't wear your watch, you'll check your wrist like 1,000 times. And you'll know that you don't have your watch on, but you'll keep checking your wrist. Why? Because when you wear it as an accessory, you eventually behave as though you have it on, even when you don't have it on. And that's what I'm trying to get out of the dog. Okay, so this is what I'll tell my clients. Put it on in the morning, even if you have no intention of using it. Put it on in the morning because you might actually have to use it, right? Put it on, have the dog wear it throughout the day, about 12 hours, and then take it off at the end of the day. One of the things people do is they'll put it on the dog when they're pissed, right? They're like, damn it, like I'm trying to be nice. And they'll grab the collar, they put it on the dog, and they'll go, now do this, this, and this. Now you're not gonna screw around. So what happens there is the dog is more likely to pick up on that. And eventually they will, but they'll pick up on it pretty fast even. And they'll go, okay, so when you grab this to put it on me, that's when we have problems. That's when I get to, you know, that's when I get held accountable. And so what happens is some dogs will go, no, 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 don't put this on. They'll fight you. They're like, crap, I don't want to put this uniform on. Like, they'll fight you. They're like, I don't want to put my boots on. I don't want to go to work. That's what they'll do. So that could be one of the reasons as to why this person that asked me the question might be experiencing that. I don't know. It might be that, Like I said at the beginning of the video, it might be that the dog just is not used to wearing collars. Now, if that's the case, because e-collar or not, some dogs are sensitive enough that they'll go, you know, I don't just want anything on my neck. If they don't wear collars, they'll kind of fight you on that. I don't know if that's the situation here. I don't know the details. But if that's the case, then all we do is we just follow through. We just go, dude, I know you don't like it. You're going to wear it. We're just going to put this on. And just do that over and over and over. I have, I have this thing with dogs. It's like, if there is something you don't like to do, we're going to do more of that. Like if we identify that there's one thing that you don't like to do in terms of training, like some dogs, for instance, like they'll do heel, sit, recall, all of that. They'll do place, but they'll go, you know what? I'm not really a big fan of down. Could we not do that? And I'll go, you don't like to do those? We'll do hundreds of those until the dog goes, okay, I just have to do it. And some dogs will go, I'll do it. I'll do the downs if you give me some treats. Like if you lure me, I'll do it all day long. And this is where people go, well, if you don't, the dog doesn't like it, then make him like it. It's not about liking or not liking. It's about doing something that needs to get done when you don't want to do it. That's discipline, right? Sometimes the dog has to do things that they don't want to do. So how do I carry that over to a dog that doesn't want to wear a muzzle, that doesn't want their nails trimmed, that doesn't want to put a collar on, that doesn't want to put a harness on? We can go two routes. We can make them love it. Like, hey, this is great. This is the party hat. Things happen that are pleasant when this thing is on. There is nothing wrong with that, by the way. I'm not condemning that. This is perfect. It's a great approach if you have the time. There's nothing wrong with that. The other approach is we're just going to put this on you. We're going to slap it on you. I know you don't like it. But you know what? Let's just move on. Let's just carry on with this. Let's just get on with our lives and just... The muzzle is on, the harness is on, the collar is on. We just got to just now move, right? This is more of a flooding approach, and it does work as well. It works a little bit faster, but it also requires a little bit of skill because people don't understand. They'll go, oh my God, the dog is fighting and maybe he doesn't like it. And then they'll stop. And this is what happens with putting collars on. They'll go, I don't know what to do. He's fighting it. He's pushing it. Well, you just go, I'm going to outstubborn you, right? You don't like it, you're going to fight it, but you know what? I'm going to outstubborn you. Doesn't mean I'm going to fight you back. I'm just not going to leave. I'm going to be here as a nuisance. I'm going to try to put this on. You're going to push it away 100 times, and 110 times I'm going to keep going back at it until we get to the point where you just realize, damn, this person is not going to stop. He's going to try to put this collar, this muzzle, this harness on me until I don't know when, because he just keeps going. And eventually every dog will go, you know what, I'll just, fuck it, I'm just gonna put it on. Once they do that, that's when you go, see, it's over and done with, right? And then you just move on to the next thing. So if the case with the question is, the dog doesn't like it because it just doesn't like it, you just put it on. If the dog knows what it is, as in, look, I know you're consistent when this thing is on, and maybe you're not the most skilled, that could be it. Look, you need to look inward and go, maybe I don't know what I'm doing, right? Maybe I just bought this, seemed like a good idea, briefly read the instruction manual, maybe watched like one or two videos and I'm ready to go. Maybe you just don't have the skill yet. And maybe you screwed up your dog, right? Maybe you just gave one too many hard corrections. The dog said shit, right? Or maybe you just went the cheap route, because that does matter, by the way. Maybe you went the cheap route. You got one of those, $80, $70 collars from Amazon. And you were like, hey, this thing seems like a great idea. It's got good reviews. It looks fancy. It's only 70 bucks. You put it on the dog. And then you don't even realize that those are not consistent with the stimulation. Meaning, level one is not always level one. Trust me, I've tried lots of off-brand e-collars. I've tried the cheap ones on myself. I know what they feel like. Okay, like level one, a lot of these are sharp as hell. Like they don't feel good, even on level one. That's one thing. The other thing is, on level one, it doesn't always feel like level one. Sometimes it feels sharper And then sometimes it goes back to the previous level that it felt like, all on the same level. Like you just press it like 3-4 times. You'll notice sometimes the third time it feels like way sharper. The fourth time it feels less. And then the fifth time it feels like the way it felt in the beginning. So there's no consistency, right? A bunch of other things. Some of the other things that I've noticed with those cheap ones is there is too much of a lag time, meaning there is too much of a gap between you pushing the button and the stimulation being activated. I've noticed that with the cheap ones. You push the button, then there is like half a second, then there is the stimulation. That's awful. That's not good, because timing is of the essence when you're using the e-collar. And if you don't have good timing, but on top of that, you don't have good skill, you're gonna mess up some aspect of training and the dog might go, I don't even know what's happening here. So now you try to put this on the dog's definitely gonna go, this is bad news. I know it's bad news. It doesn't feel good. You don't know what you're doing. I don't know what I'm doing. And it's just very stressful. So if that happens, then you need to sharpen up your skills. Look at the video library that I have, okay? If you have no skills, this will actually give you step by step. It's not like on a course that you have to pay before. I do have that, but it's not on that. It's on YouTube. Like, you could literally look at these videos step by step, and I'll break it down. I slow it down so it's in slow motion. I give you prompts on the screen. I tell you what collars I'm using. I have video reviews on different collars, the collars that I recommend, right? The collars that I recommend are gonna be consistent. The stimulation is gonna be consistent. The timing is gonna be consistent. So all you have to worry about is just harnessing your ability to do this and learning how to do this step by step and realizing that along the way, you're gonna screw up. But if you're gonna screw up with a good collar where the stimulation is not gonna be that bad. If you're gonna screw up, but at least the timing on the collar will be right. And if you're gonna screw up on a low level. It's not a big deal. You screw up on a low level on one of the collars that I talk about, your dog's not even gonna feel it. But if you screw up on a low level on a crappy collar, trust me, there are no low levels in a lot of those things. Like, the low level is already painful. So get the right equipment, get your skill right, and then realize maybe I'm just screwing up. Okay, but let's say you're not screwing up. Let's say your ability, your timing is on point. You got the right collar, and your dog still goes, I don't want to put this on. Or your dog goes, man, I wear this and I have to be a robot. I don't wear this and I can just do whatever I want. If your skill is right, your equipment is right, and that's still happening, then you just might need to accessorize this. What I mean by that is you might just have to treat it like a watch. Put it on the dog, even if you have no intention of using it that day. Even if you go, man, I don't have money to get a new collar. So if I gotta get a nice collar, that means that I have to now save for like a couple of months. And now what do I do in the meantime? In the meantime, grab whatever collar you have, don't turn it on, and just put it on the dog for about 10 to 12 hours a day. Even if you're not gonna use it, even if the battery is fully dead and the collar is crap and you realize this is crap, I'm not gonna use it, fine, don't use it. But in the meantime, just have the dog wear it throughout the day for about 10 to 12 hours a day for however long until you're able to invest enough money in a nicer collar. Then by the time you get that nicer collar, you put it on the dog, it's accessorized. It's just like wearing a watch, right? And by then, the dog will be less likely to make those connections of, this is on, I have to be a robot. This is off, I don't have to be. Because it'll be on constantly. And then what you do once you get to that point is, there's another thing I tell my clients, I have to simplify for my clients, just like I'm doing it to you, because, you know, my clients are not dog trainers. They're people that have their jobs. They're doctors, they're teachers. They have their own priorities, and training dogs is not one of them.